says, Dojo Bhakta Pasat Master, they are giving the content to the Sound Principle, which is the guiding principle. Yes, you know. You have sound, you have some sound, and you naturally be drawn to the place from where that sound is coming. So this is direct way back to God. In this yoga, this is the natural yoga of the sound current. In this no hypothesis is required to be made. Direct way back to God. Because of this, your contact with the light and sound principle, which emanates from the actual God. What does it say? In all of the yoga you have tried some hypothesis to make or draw inference. So as such like persons, you know, call them by the name persons. What makes life is born and saying we are born, because there are only two eyes that we have got outside, two limbs, two he walks like us. But he is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, as Christ said. Akhand Pujanti, Pujantira, they are such a thing. It is bread of life that has come down from heaven, who shall partake of it shall have everlasting life. They give you the bread of life, the water of life, which is light and sound principle of the God into special power. You have physical food to make your body strong, you got learning, etc., to give you strength to the intellect. What food will give to your soul, which is conscious entity? So Master come here to give that water of life, that bread of life. And when you get it, when you rise above body consciousness, until you rise above body consciousness, you remain a stranger to the beyond. A master gives you experience and demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, then you have no fear of death. Because all glory and beauty lies within you. When you witness once that aspect of higher life, you are so much attached that you won't like to stay outside. So it is always advised in the scriptures what? To do the practices as given by Master. Those who are doing practices without a Master, only doing at the level of senses, and then with the outgoing faculties, or with the intellect, they don't give you any accession to the beyond. Their good actions are good because you are doer, as you sow, so shall you reap. But they cannot give you glimpse of the beyond. So they, what will do if you have this, if you follow the sit at the feet of Master, to give you how to rise above body consciousness, then you have got seen that thing, you see, and you know how to go up. So the function of the Master is a link between man and God, and link of Shabda Jinn. And what is Shabda? Light and sound, two aspects of it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light at my path. So even such a master, when you meet such a master, you see, even after leaving his body, the perfect master continues to watch over the disciples, his world made flesh, and never leaves you till the end of the world. This is all world master said. Christ said, I shall never leave in all pathways till the end of the world. Is it not? So all masters said, Christ said, they work while they live and give life to the world. He said, I must work the works of Him who has sent me while it is day. Means He is alive. The night comes when no man can work. When they parted, night comes, when this man is no more alive in the body, then he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Very clear words. So this is a function. This is what do they do? They do what? They give you contact with God. There is a link between man and God. They open your inner eyes, see the light of God. They open your inner ears to hear the voice of God. They tell you how to rise above body question, how you fly your plane into the air. There's a plane riding into the air outside, and that's the plane of your inner self into the beyond. To the astral plane, to the causal plane, even beyond, until you reach the true home of the Father. So, the work continues, one bulb is fused and the other is put on. That power never dies. Christ lived before Abraham. Jesus lived before Abraham. I am that I am. You follow the point? So that power never dies, continues our work in a different human force at different times to guide the child in humanity. This is also the sixth scripture says. He says that sound principle is my guru. And that sound principle is all nectar of bliss. What the scripture says, read it what they say, unless you meet a living master, you can't go beyond. Very clear that? And that power never leaves you, you see. Always with you, watching you, extending all physical health and protection. And such a gift given by your master, you see, that can never be set aside. No power on earth can take it away. And no one else can give you such a gift. He gives God as a gift to you. Guru Prasad. He makes you come in contact with God. Christ said, I gave unto thee eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then thought that once a master takes anybody under his care and he shall be taken away by somebody? No. The disciple may leave, but the master never leaves. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. This is what Christ said. This also in the Gospel of Scripture, Sad Vachanatana. I am giving you only the parallel view to show that the teaching of the East and West makes no difference whatsoever. So for that reason, you see, what you find, you would like somebody who knows the way. You will find that, as Christ said, nobody has any power to pluck him away from his hand. Similarly, also, Swamiji says, one seed is sown by a master, in whomsoever, no other power on earth or heaven who can take that away. And such a gift can be made by only a master. There is no man wise with the master, you see. He comes what far? To take you home, liberate you from the prison out of the body, and take you home back. This is what. So blessed are they that have the word of God and keep it. That's what Christ says. He that heareth my voice have ever lost in life and has passed from death to life. Such masters are here, but they are always present in the world. In every age they come to live the path to reach. There's food for the hungry, water for the thirsty. Demand and supply is the law of nature. The child which was born 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago are now being born. Don't you know that nature provides milk for the child and the mother before birth? Do you think this law will change in future? Laws of nature never change. So this goes on, you see. The Guru Mukha, who has dwelt in him the secret power of Naam, or word, and attained the degree of at least a Sadhu, from him the thought of Naam is carried forward by disciples from generation unto generation to enlighten the future. For one bulb is used and put on. So, such a master is needed. Guru Nanak says, sit at the feet of somebody, when you go beyond and Lord of Judgment is there to pay your account, he stands for you. You are not to come for it. So that is why they say, leave the friends of such people who never go along with you. Not in the world also, you see. Many people are with us only so long as their purpose is served. When they have got no purpose left, they go away. They may be very dutiful children. They may help you to the last. But when you are dying, they cannot help you. So you need somebody who can help you at the time of death. And who are they? They are masters who give you a demonstration of dying while denying the very first day for a while. You call it regularly, accurately every day, you rise above body conscious daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. When you leave the body at all, Guru Nanak says 100 times a day, where is the fear of death? Kabir says, people are afraid, they take the name of death. But I am more guy when you hear the name of death. So we are afraid of death for two reasons. One reason is, we do not know how to die. What is death? It is no bugbear. It is leaving the body. All have to leave the body. In the saints, master, everybody who took this body, they reflect the body. And we will also have to leave the body. Then how to conquer death? The only you must know how to die, how to leave the body as well. All glory and beauty lies within you. So we need somebody who can give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness. The yogis have taken hundreds of years to do so. And he guides you up when you go across, there also he is there to help you. He won't see you till the end of the world. Christ also said the same thing. I shall never leave nor forsake you till the end of the world. So for that reason, he says to sit, pray. God, oh God, meet us such a man, such a person. Who can take us out of the prison box of his body? In like that. Who accompanies us here and there also? Those who are afraid of death, what should they do? Master says, let them sit at the feet of the master. To them, if they are accurate, they keep commandments of the master, they will feel joy at the time of death. So what will the result? He will just meet you, receive you at the door of death. You are not to go all alone. That's a great confession. So Master therefore says, to take hold of the hem of such a master who knows this and the other world both, who can work in both worlds, here and there too. Who may be with you when you are in this world, extending all feasible help and protection. When you leave the world to be beyond, they also come in there. when you leave this world. Don't you like such a friend? We do need. So what happened, you think? We are now drenched in the poison of the outward faculties. We are identified with it. This poison comes through the impressions we receive from the outward faculty, from outside. So his first work is to take you up out of this abyss of poison of the outward faculties. You follow what I mean? Our souls are under the command of mind. Mind is under the control of outward faculties, and outward faculties are attracted like anything by the outward enjoyments. So my soul is forgotten yourself. We cannot differentiate ourselves. So Master gives a demonstration how to come up out of the body, Bhakta's member, and open the inner eye to see the light of God, that He is the maker of all. His ego is lost. When he says, "Some higher power is working, I am not working," then Lord of Judgment only takes account of those people who are working at the level of ego. You are the doer. You sow, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you rise above this, the law of evolution and devolution, come know that power that is working behind all this, then you save all coming and going. So what happens? He takes you out of the member. The Master do say, Guru Amar Das, after 70 long years, when he met, sat at the feet of his Master, he had that experience. He says, "Oh man, I was also like you at the level of the outward faculties. Now I have risen up with the grace of God working through my Master." Just like this, this is watch. Watch is that fingers are holding it. But have you had the fingers doing working? I. So the man body of a world made flesh, God is working. It is He has the power to take you up from the bed, the man body. When He gives you content. The result is what? All sins are washed away. You got heaps of firewood. You put in little fire to it. All are burnt down to ashes. Similarly, you have got sins of the past. Hundreds of them. We have an example in the Mahabharata. That last I was there, he was blind from birth. People asked him, "In what birth you have committed some sin, the result of which you are blind from the very birth?" He said, "I know by yoga power, 100 births that I have done no such action." Then Lord Krishna gave him his own power, yoga power, to go behind, beyond. And he, in 106 but back, he did something that came to us. So man body is given to us to just burn away all those burdens of sins we have got on our shoulders by bringing you in contact with the God into special power, which is light and sound, that burns away all parts of the world. And there's no attendance to the court of Lord of Judgment. So we are afraid of that. Why? We do not know how to deal with that. That is no bugbear. It is only human. Man, but as I come from India, I'm here alive, isn't it? You bear testament to it. Similarly, when man leaves the physical body, he is conscious. He is what he is at the time of leaving the body. So the first thing is we do not know how to leave the body. And there is no escape from death. All have to leave the body someday. How to conquer death is only to know how to leave it. So in the scriptures it is said, you see in the Mahan scriptures it says, when soul leaves the man body, it feels such like pain as one has by putting a thorny brush to the rectum drawn to the mouth. And the Hindu scriptures tell us when soul leaves the man body, it has pain like that, as 1,000 scorpions sting together. If one scorpion bites you, then you have got terrible pain. What to speak of 1,000 scorpions? And second thing, if we do not watch is our fate beyond, that's it. If a man rises above body conscious daily, goes into beyond, then when he hears he is being called back, he feels, yeah, I am going to my father. Others who are not set at the feet of masters, they are in agony. So if the grace of God, of a guru, you know yourself by self-analysis, not at the meaning of feelings or trying inferences, then you become conscious over Karatis Vanka, that he is the dual you are meant to do. If you know this dying by the life, then you are ever lost in life. Learn to die so that you may begin to be. So to have a living master is a great blessing. Remain in whatever formation you are, the labels of which you are carrying. Spirituality is one and the same for all of you. Of course, the customs and rituals of the various so-called social bodies we are in, the labels of which we are carrying on our body, they may be different. That is due to climatic influences or customs prevailing in that country where they arose. I give you one instance. In Arabia, they want lots of water. They made a provision that you can go, as their water less there, you can only wash your hands, feet and face and sit for prayers. And they have also made a provision, why? That is, there is no water whatsoever. You may have be smeared yourself with the sand over there and sit wide awake. And they eat or anywhere else with water in abundance, what they do? They say, unless you take a bath, you are not fit to pray. So this is due to what? Climate. Purpose is to sit wide awake when you sit for prayer. Another example, when you go to a Sikh temple, they have to sit bare, I didn't know, with covered head, that is sign of respect. That is due to the custom. In the churches, to sit bare headed is sign of respect. That is due to the custom. So outward differences there are, due to customs, climatic differences, or narrow-mindedness. Master come to bring the man up above his own seat, this is what is before you. All mankind is alike, given the same privilege from God. Your spirit is man. When spirit is eternal, how can you fear you die? You are the true temple of God. So keep it clean from outside and inside too. Of course, we have done thousands of dollars we spent by keeping this man by the outside very clean. Toilet, what about inside? The drug comes through the outer faculties. 80% of the impressions are received from outside. Two eyes only. 14% from the ear. The rest from other outer faculties. So what this poison, who is the creator of this poison mind within you, that defiles the whole body? When you think of that, the whole body should be left to talk. That poison. You think of anger, the whole body is burning. So all these things go to poison your, defile your mind body within. So that is why I said, blessed are they who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, all other masters and rishis are the same thing. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. So Guru Arjan says, which is the highest religion in the world, he says, to have a true living and contact with God. Remember you are? Each formation, wherever you are, their purpose we have joined religion is only to turn out such like man, perfect man. Whichever turns out such like people, they are blessed, they are to be appreciated. That school which turns out students with high degrees, they are creditable. The religion should turn out perfect men. And the idea of a perfect man in all religions is given the same. A Sikh, when he becomes Khalsa, only he derives the full benefit of living in the Sikh. And what is it? What is he? In him, the light of God is fully effulgent. Only such a man is called Khalsa the pure. Hindu too, it is one who sees the light outside and just lights it, lit inside too, light. Take it that the light within you is not dark. Mohammedan also sees the light of God, and Krishna is one who sees the light of God. Do you see the same? The headquarters of the Sikhism in Amritsar in India, the foundation was laid by a Mohammedan saint. Why? Out of God we may have anything, you see, we are man, we are conscious entity, who is animated, I may say, by God, he is the truth. When that delusion man comes out of that, all are one, it is you who have made all the differences. It's on my last road, there is a meeting, you see, east and west. Each man had to speak on his own, where from he has come. All said something when I came to my turn, I told them, it is said that east is for the east and the two shall never meet. But it is we who have made the east and west. The whole creation is the house of our God. All countries are the so many rooms in the house of our Father. There is no east and west. We are already one, as man, as soul, whom we worship. This is the aim and loving of the masters. They bring unity. They don't bring unity, they only revive the unity which you have forgotten. As man we are all one, as soul we are of the same essence as that of God, we are all children of light, we are all brothers and sisters in God, and whom we worship is called by so many names, he is the same. So unity already exists as man, soul, and God whom we worship. This we have forgotten, and Master come to revive that unity which you have forgotten. And also, to know yourself, this outer world and this man body is not your home. This is given to you as a golden opportunity in which you can go back home. That's all. So all masters say the same thing. Blessed they are who have contacted with such masters. So to have a living master is a great blessing. I think today is the last day of the talk. From tomorrow then I think the initiation, after that we will have to move to Chennai. Thank you all for the patient hearing you have given today, yesterday, day before. What little I came to know at the feet of my master, Baba Samsin, Dimara, with the grace of God working through him, that I've laid before you. And by the parallel study of scriptures, what I found, this is there. all masters say saints. We have to say for all masters who came in the past, they are now or may come in the future. So thank you all for the patience you have today, yesterday, today and day before. You see.
Thank you for joining us in the Sasan for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was the last 30 minutes of the talk given in Unitarian Church in San Francisco. It was given on 14th November 1972. And our reader this morning is David Halliburton.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to continue reading the talk I was reading from last time I read, The Heart's True Yearning, talk published in the April 1973 issue of Satsandesh. There are two ways of praising God. One is by seeing and getting intoxication from what is seen, so that the words of praise naturally overflow. The other way is by repeating words of praise from books and visualizing. The latter is like cooking a flavorful dish in one's imagination. There is a great deal of difference in the two methods. True devotees enjoy the Lord's nectar by seeing Him. Their eye is opened. They sing the Lord's praises out of intoxication. Get the Lord's nectar from the Satguru, and then sit together and speak of Him. Meeting the Satguru, one's mind becomes tranquil, the mind and the intellect. He teaches us how to still the mind. Otherwise, we may take the Lord's name in praise incessantly, and yet the intellect will not be stilled. The mind's ramifications will continue perpetually. What does Lord Krishna say in the Gita? Both good and bad actions are binding to the jiva, like gold and iron chains. Good thoughts are very well, but they are outgoing, and they disseminate. What does the Satguru give then, so that the mind is stilled? He gives something within, the sweetness of which charms the mind into stillness for a while. In this way, the ground is prepared for a future opening of the way. There is no other true cure. All conflict should be thrust aside. All should sit together and sing the Lord's praises. All mankind is one. Who is good? Who is bad? With a single light, all creation came into being. Who is good and who is bad? Who then is rich and who is poor? All have been given the same attributes by the Lord. Physically also, the outer and inner construction is the same. The Hindus are not better favored than the Muslims. The Christians are not better favored than the Sikhs. God made the human being. The soul is a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, and it desires to return to its source. This is the simple truth, but man has no desire to face it until he has been pushed around from pillar to post. Some souls have reached this path via great suffering, and some have yet to suffer before they reach it. Perpetual repose lies in nothing else but meeting God. O, fulfill the yearning of Nanak's child. Peace will descend in this body with a glimpse of the Lord. He concludes with a prayer. The yearning for a glimpse of God is the highest aim in human life. Receiving this human form, it is thy turn to meet God. This is the right time when the soul is in torment for the Lord, and this torment is expressed in deep yearning for him. When that yearning is fulfilled, it gains perfect peace and stillness, the peace that passeth all understanding, the everlasting peace. This can be received only through one who is one with the Lord and is the image of the truth. Only such a personality can take the soul to God. How can he who has never met the Lord take another to him? A learned man can give outer knowledge, that is all. An awakened man can give the contact, and with practice one can gain that which he is. There is really no difference between the disciple and the guru, but the guru has that power manifested in him and is commissioned to give it out, and it has yet to be made manifest in the disciple. A man learns all through life. We should go to he who is competent in the field where one's desire lies. You may call such a competent person by any name. For these days, the words guru and satguru have been defamed due to those who were not qualified, but were merely acting and posing. They met their inevitable downfall in due course. Without the true Mahatma, salvation can never be achieved. This has always been so, and ever will be. That concludes that talk, and now I turn to a talk which was printed in the February 1971 Satsandesh, entitled, In My Heart, I Have a Vision. It was the 1967 birthday message from Master Kripal Singh, and it starts, Dear Children of Light, I send my hearty love and blessings to you, one and all, on this, my 74th physical birthday. I am a man, an ensouled body, like each of you. All are men first, bearing the badges of one or the other religion. All mankind is one, with the same privileges from God, that is, born the same way, having the same construction of their bodies, outer and inner, and the same conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, enlivening the body. To be born in a temple is good, as it works as a casing of the kernel of truth alive. But to die while congealed to the casing and forgetting the kernel of truth within is debarring one from the truth, which is a heinous sin. In my heart I have a vision of fraternity of spirit, organized religion with too much emphasis on outer forms and rituals becomes fortified compartments of egoistic power, more than instruments of service or aids of self-realization. These inevitably result in quarrels with one another. We need a simple movement of the spirit with harmony and brotherhood of humanity and love for man, bird, and beast. I take religion as a yoga of life with love. Yoga means the control of mind and of desires vitiated with egoism. This will lead to real happiness if we renounce the fruits of our actions and work as instruments or puppets of the Lord. Let our actions be an offering to the Lord. Mind that spirituality is non-egoism. May our selfless work for spreading this message of the Master, which is God's work, draw many unto Thee, O Lord, and may our name be forgotten. Let us belong to the kingdom of the Master, the Word made flesh, and dedicate our life to the service of the Master, who is the beauty of the simple life and selfless service. Let us follow the Master and make His noble teachings a part and parcel of our lives, and attune ourselves with the divine light and music of all harmonies, reverberating in all creation, which will open our inner eye and will leave no room in our hearts for spite or hate for others. What to speak of brothers and sisters who are united in unbreakable bonds of spirit by the Master? Your heart will be filled with love and compassion for all that lives, sentient or insentient, that is, man, beast, bird, and all nature. We should lead and teach a life of compassion and love to all beings on earth. He really knoweth who loveth and serveth all, is the message of the wise ones of humanity like Buddha, Christ, and Nanak. It is the message which our daily life and modern world so piteously needs. I wish you to progress spiritually and to lead a life of righteousness, that is, good thoughts, good words, and good actions. With all love, your own, Kirpal Singh. The next writing I'm going to read from is called Protector and Protection, originally published in the September 1970 edition of Satsandesh, and as Chapter 13 in The Night is a Jungle. The festival of Raksha is observed by our Hindu brothers, and the true meaning of Raksha Bandhan is to have good intentions toward someone and be a protection for them in every way, to protect them from difficulties, unhappiness, calamities, etc., or to save them from the force of such occurrences as cannot be prevented. The custom has been upheld in India for many generations, and at the time of wars, for instance, sisters would tie a small token on the wrists of their soldier brothers and whisper the prayer, "May God protect you." It is a common custom, still continued nowadays, but unfortunately with time it has deteriorated from its true meaning, and we find that when the sister now ties the token, she feeds him some sweetmeat and then expects some money in return. And so the true reason for the custom is lost. What is raksha, or protection, and who can give it wholeheartedly? When a child is born, it has no awareness of anything, but its mother protects it from birth until it is fully grown. The father is the bread earner, but the mother is the protector. First, for 9 or 10 months, she carries the baby in her womb, giving it all her love and attention. Then, when it arrives in the world, she starts to take care of its every need. She keeps him clean, for he is constantly dirtying himself. If he gets wet and there are no more dry clothes, though it be the depth of winter, she will keep him warm on her breast and cover him with her own clothes, oblivious to the danger of catching cold herself. When the child gradually begins to have some awareness of his surroundings, he starts to realize a little of the love of his mother toward him. For the mother first loves the child, not vice versa. The child's love comes in response, and when he learns to love, he is reluctant to leave his mother's lap. She spends her life in worrying about the child, his health, his food, his education, good character, and his future. Everything concerning him is dear to her heart until he stands on his own feet and gets established in life. Even then, her worrying does not cease. You will find that most mothers are like this, the whole world over. However, this worldly life is not the true living. We have to be born again, not physically, but into a new and different world. Christ said that unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And only after getting this physical form can we get rebirth into the beyond. Just as the mother is the physical protector, it is even more necessary to have a protector through the second, or spiritual birth, and on through the spiritual life until one has grown in awareness and is able to stand upright spiritually. With conditions as they are today, even man's closest ties offer little protection. A brother is not a true brother. Father is not for his son, and the son will do nothing for his father. Even the mother has started cursing her child, who in turn has lost all respect for its mother. It is such a terrible and degraded condition that mankind has sunk into. I feel like weeping. Anyway, one might have the sympathies of a righteous person, but for how long can he protect one? For as long as he stays in this world, not beyond that. And in the process of rebirth, he will be of no avail whatsoever. So, who can protect us in the new world? He who dwells there. The true raksha bandhan happens when you have a protector for your soul, who can take care of you in this world and the next, and without whom nothing can be achieved. With all due respect and gratitude to our physical and material protectors. The mother hen sits on her eggs with full concentration so that the chicks will form. When they are fully formed, she conveys to them that they are ready for the world which is waiting for them with open arms. The sun, which is brightly shining, the grass is green and fresh, and there is plenty of food to eat. But the chick is in darkness and cannot realize there is any other state. The mother then has to resort to tapping on the shell with her beak. And on hearing this, he instinctively feels encouraged to do the same from inside. And in a short time, he is putting his head into a new atmosphere filled with light and life. Only then does he understand the promise conveyed by his mother. If we want to be born into the new world, we need the help of someone who will not only take us there, but who will protect us to the end of the journey. Do you think this is work for our mother, father, sister, or any friend? No, It is impossible. The whole world is unable to assist you. There is an account of an incident during the life of my master, Baba Sawan Singh Ji, of a woman disciple whose only son was arrested on a false charge of murder and was given the penalty of death by hanging. The sessions judge presiding over the case was also a disciple. And before the final verdict was concluded, Baba Sawan Singh Ji requested him to help the accused and said, "I know he is innocent and falsely implicated." But the judge disregarded the master's words and gave the death sentence. A few days later, I was present when this same judge came to pay his respects to Hazur. And when the master pressed very close to him, without even looking in his direction, he casually said to another person, "I have no need of a judge. I can ask the Lord to do my work." Just then, the mother approached the master and started crying. "He has been sentenced to death," she said. Baba Sawan Singh Ji replied, "Don't worry. You just put in an appeal." It was not the type of case that had the slightest chance through appealing. But, on the master's advice, the mother did appeal. And when they re-examined the case, certain facts came to light, and eventually the son was released. So, one can see that even when there is no hope in any direction, a true protector can give the maximum help. Frankly, what is a human being's life but a series of interruptions? At each step, there is a barrier. What one wants does not happen. Some people are dying. Some are sick. Some are in difficulties of various kinds. There are thousands in poverty and in appallingly afflicted conditions. The whole of mankind is lamenting its unhappiness every step of the way. Who is there to give consolation in the world and guidance in the next? Guru Nanak has said on the subject, "O Nanak, break off all connections with the imperfect and search for a perfect master. They will abandon you even while you live, but he will never leave you even after death." Maulana Rumi has also said that one should grasp the coattails of a man who knows the secrets of this world and the beyond. The protection of such a personage cannot be described, but the individuals who experience it hold the knowledge close in their hearts. His single thought is very powerful, for God is super consciousness. He is a part of the Creator, a drop of the ocean of all light. Remember, with one thought, God created the world. From one, many came into creation. If we, the soul, become the mouthpiece of the oversoul, then how powerful will we be? Our soul, though it is the same as the oversoul, is surrounded by the mind and the senses, and is enclosed in the carcass of the physical form. The masters come like motherly hens to foster the children, which is very necessary. For unless they sit at some master's feet and absorb his words, they cannot be reborn. Remember that. Though in the beginning, it may be by mere words that the facts of life are conveyed, of a new world more beautiful than this. that is, And, Brahmand, Par Brahmand, and Sat Lok, or Sach Khand. O soul, you are the dweller of that land. Why have you allowed yourself to be captivated here? On hearing the words of the masters, we slowly start thinking and want to know what else there is. When the master gives the soul a connection with the beyond, it hears it and responds. There is no way without the Shabd to leave this pot of clay. With repetition, or Simran, you can achieve single-pointed concentration, and with concentrated attention, or Dhyan, you will come to a standstill. But Shabd is the only power to take you up into the beyond. The Master is that consciousness which has become the mouthpiece of the All Consciousness, and His single penetrating glance can lift the consciousness of not only one, but hundreds at one sitting, if necessary. To be connected to such a personage is the true Raksha Bandhan. Otherwise, it is merely a worldly custom. What are a guru's responsibilities, and what does he do? When one gives real thought to this, one's soul shivers to realize the extent of his protection. People do not understand that the guru's responsibilities are vast. They are overjoyed with the prospects of becoming masters themselves. Forgive me for saying this. Each one's desire is to be a guru, sadhu, or sant. And, spellbound with these thoughts, he forgets his duty toward himself and what he has to become in reality, thereby spending his precious time in leisure and wasting away whatever he has got. But the master, with each breath, goes on saving the disciples all the time. Whenever he initiates, he sows a seed for a new life, like the seed enters the mother's womb and then develops. Howsoever God's words come, He brings them into outer knowledge. He is a perfect being, the mouthpiece of God, the conscious co-worker, who sees that it is God sitting within him who is doing everything. This kind of master sows the seed of attention and gives a way up into the beyond, which is a new experience. In India some time ago, the masters who gave initiation into the beyond were termed Brahmins, the supreme caste. But today, only the caste remains, and initiation is but a mantra, mere words, that's all. The raksha, or protection, is a question mark. You are in the custody of a true master from the very day he gives initiation. He becomes the very breath of the disciple. Baba Sawan Singh Ji used to say that from the day the master gives the blessing of Naam, the guru becomes the indweller, along with the soul. From that very moment, he starts forming the child with love and protection, until ultimately he takes him into the lap of the Oversoul. Until that time, he does not leave him for 1 minute. This advancement may take 1, 2, or 3 lifetimes. Masters have mentioned up to 4. But if we become receptive, it can happen in 1 lifetime. God is working in the master, and if you think of him in this way, then whatever you desire will be given. In physique, he looks the same as other men, but he is not man alone. He became a man to dispense the treasure of God to the souls. I'll stop there. Today's satsang, I started by reading The Heart's True Yearning from the April 1973 issue of Satsandesh, and then went on to read In My Heart, I Have a Vision from the February 71 Satsandesh, and was in the middle of reading Protector and Protection from the September 1970 Satsandesh. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, David, for putting together this captivating selection and reading for us. There were 75 of us in today's satsang. Thank you, Master, for sheltering us in your fold and taking care of us.
So thank you all of my, for your patient hearing, what I've come to know, for this to show you. I will carry my sweet remembrance of you all and pray God may take you back home. That's all I can say to you, that is all I can have for all of you.